This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome
to My Favorite Murder,
the minisode,
where we read you the stories you write to us.
That's right. Do you want to go first?
Sure. Okay. This one's called The Original Mrs. Robinson.
Mm.
Hello to all on and off the mic of My Favorite Murder. I truly love you and your team so much that I could write a whole email just thanking you for the years of stories and laughs, but this hometown is a doozy, so let's get into it. I'm originally from Mississippi, and it says, don't worry, the only thing stereotypically Southern about me is my accent. And I recently went home for the weekend where my Friday night consisted of late night wine chats with my parents. They know my obsession with true crime, and my mom is even a murderino herself. Around 1 a.m., the conversation shifted to my dad casually mentioning his connection to a murder right here in Jackson, Mississippi, and the screenplay turned TV movie written by two pals of his. He is convinced he's told me the story before, but I know in all my 26 years, this has never once been mentioned. That night, we went down a rabbit hole and I learned that everyone truly does have a hometown murder. The crime. In 1974, 20-year-old John Peyton Alexander was the swimming coach at a Jackson Country Club where he met and started an affair with married 37-year-old Harriet Robinson. There aren't many details known about the level of seriousness regarding the relationship, but in the fall of 1974, Mr. Robinson became aware of the affair and called Alexander, telling him to leave Harriet alone. Mrs. Robinson then cuts ties with the young pool boy herself as well. John Peyton didn't take this breakup well, sunk into a deep depression, dropped out of college, and moved back in with his mother. During his transition back to Jackson, he decided to get his old job at the country club back. Unfortunately for him, the Robinsons decided to take it upon themselves to block this idea by writing a letter to the club stating that Alexander was incompetent. He then went on to apply at a different country club in the area where the connected couple did the same thing. Obviously angry and frustrated, the boy decided to Xerox some of the love letters written to him by Harriet and mailed the copies to several members of the country club to prove their opinion on his work ethic was biased.
Ooh.
I know. So love letters, that's a deep affair.
Yeah, it is.
You know? This backfired for Alexander because Mr. Robinson then brought a suit against him demanding damages. On October 4th, 1975, John Peyton Alexander went to play tennis with a buddy of his at Battlefield Park around 11 a.m. After this match, instead of calling it a day, he went to the Parham Bridges Tennis Club where Mrs. Robinson was finishing up a tennis match of her own. Alexander walked right up to Harriet, drew a pistol from his pocket, and shot her in the head from around 3 feet away. He then stepped closer to the woman now lying on the court in blood and fired 7 more shots into her head and neck.
Mm.
He didn't stay at the scene, though. He went home and told his mother exactly what he did, and they called the police together. His trial ended in a guilty verdict, and even though he was released 7 years into his sentence, he broke his parole by stopping his medication and assaulting his own sister. In 1986, he was then put back in prison where he is still serving out his life sentence as of 2019. The story blew my mind and I summed it up as best as I could for y'all. The reason my dad brought this up in the first place was because my family were members of that same country club and John Peyton's mother was my dad's chemistry teacher in high school. My grandmother, we call her Lily, remembers the incident well and frequently played tennis at that court. Years after this 1975 murder, two local boys wrote a screenplay about the crime and it sold and turned into a TV movie starring Susan Lucci.
Oh, wow. That's big.
It's called Between Love and Hate. And the two writers were friends of my dad's as well. Every time I go home to Mississippi, I am reminded just how small of a place it is, with gossip to last a lifetime. Stay sexy, Shelby, she, her.
Shelby?
Shelby.
Don't you ever apologize for being Southern, Shelby. We've met wonderful, wonderful murderinos who are Southern.
Truly.
But it's like one thing if the people at your golf club or whatever, your tennis club, are having an affair. And then that's like, that's the gossip.
Yeah.
And then to have it escalate so horribly and so publicly.
Yeah. And violently.
Yeah. What a nightmare.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to read you the subject line of this. It says, hi, Karen and Georgia. The other week, my grandparents were visiting me in San Diego, and my grandpa started to tell this crazy story about my great-great-grandma. I immediately opened up the notes app on my phone. Because I knew I finally had a story worth writing in about. Back in the 1920s, my family owned a tavern in Chicago. Unfortunately, they were forced to shut down during the Prohibition era. However, I bet you could guess that my great-great-grandma's business didn't stop there. Shortly following the start of Prohibition, my little Polish great-great-grandma got a knock on her door and was surprisingly met with a couple of Al Capone's gang members standing there with a 5-gallon milk jug filled with bootleg whiskey. They told her that she better get to selling because they'd be back the following week to collect her proceeds. Just as expected, the following week, Al Capone's members showed up on my great-great-grandma's tavern steps again, but this time with 2 5-gallon milk jugs. And this is how her bootleg whiskey business took off.
Holy shit.
Before she knew it, guys were lining the side street outside the tavern, holding out their cups as she poured bootleg whiskey out of her cute little teapot.
Oh.
And the subject line of this email is Al Capone's teapot whiskey, but I thought I gave it all away.
Oh, thank you.
I can only imagine what a sight that was. Truly an iconic woman. Stay sexy and don't sell bootleg. Stay sexy and don't sell bootleg teapot whiskey. And then it says, or do.
Yeah.
Krista.
It's so crazy to think that, like, we romanticize all that, you know, but like, she was forced to do that. She had no choice. And it was probably a pretty scary thing at the time.
I'm sure it was really scary. She was at total risk by doing that. But then she was kind of like actually making it work,
right,
which is what everyone else had to do back then.
Totally.
Especially those guys lining up for a cup of whiskey.
Oh, my God. Oh, rot gut.
We all want to protect the people and places we love, but that can lead to a lot of worrying.
Unless you've installed a SimpliSafe home security system, then you can leave the worrying to the professionals.
With SimpliSafe 24/7 professional monitoring, a trained agent is always on standby.
If your system alerts an agent to an emergency, they will immediately dispatch first responders, all for less than a dollar a day.
You can also see the situation for yourself with their easy-to-install HD cameras.
And the SimpliSafe customer team is just a quick chat or call away. Newsweek just named them the best in the business.
Try SimpliSafe risk-free for 60 days, and if you don't love it, return your system for a full refund. The idea that there are people at SimpliSafe standing by to help you at all times is such a comfort in this day and age. You see something weird on these cameras that you installed, something going on around your house, there's somebody to talk to right away and to monitor the situation with you and then to make that call with you. I think that kind of guidance and somebody just kind of looking over things for you can really be a comforting thing in today's modern world.
Absolutely. So find the peace of mind you've been searching for.
Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring.
Visit simplisafe.com/fave.
That's simplisafe.com/fave.
There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Goodbye.
This one's called Welcome to the Light, a super quickie. And listen, I didn't pick it because of the first, the who it's addressed to, but it did help. It says, Dear Dottie et al.
Oh.
Blah, 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 written before, feel unloved and ignored, trying again, LOL. You have had stories before about people who seem to be talking to loved ones who had passed just before their own deaths. Just today, while on an eye exam, I had my head in a machine and was told, quote, no matter what, just keep looking at the light. I said to the tech, I imagine that's what I'll hear in my final hours. Then I said how I don't really believe in that, but it would be comforting if there were a light, and how I listened to a podcast where they've shared tons of stories like this, and it's really heartwarming. And it says, in case that wasn't obvious, I'm talking about MFM. So the text says, My mom died about 5 months ago. She had had some infection that wouldn't go away, but she was still up and about. This one day, she was standing at the window and she kept yelling, "What? What?" The tech thought her mother had really lost it at that point. She asked what was going on and who she was talking to. Her mother suddenly turned around and said, "I have to go. My mother's coming to get me." And that night, she passed away.
Oh.
I really don't believe in an afterlife, but I am keen to be wrong and see my family members gone before me, ready to welcome me to wherever. It's extremely comforting. Cheers to both of you. Carrie, she, her.
I love that story.
I know, right?
It's so comforting, the idea that your mom will come and get you.
Yeah. Oh. I love that. I love those stories.
Oh, well, similarly, This says deathbed confession, and then there's like 10 question marks after it. And then it says, "Hi, love you all. I've held on to the story for decades, trying to find the right place to submit it. And after hearing you guys ask for deathbed confessions, I realized it was my time to freaking shine. Let's get into it. When I was a young girl of about 12 years old, there was an upheaval in my family life. My parents were headed toward divorce, and my dad's dad had just suffered a massive stroke, and his recovery was looking bleak. Soon, I started hearing hushed voices from the kitchen. My nosy 12-year-old ass quickly turned the music down on my headphones and got ready to eavesdrop, but I was told what was up by my parents soon after. Pretty reckless if you ask me, but my parents have always been super transparent and honest with us, which I commend them for. And so they sat me and my big brother down. A little background. My dad has 3 siblings, 2 brothers and a sister. His sister is an RN, we'll call her Lori, and she was responsible for all medical stuff concerning my grandparents. So she went in to visit my grandfather one day to get an update on his vitals and what the next steps were. Being the only daughter, you can imagine Lori's surprise when the attending nurse at the hospital told her that she had already given the rundown to my grandfather's other daughter, who is also a nurse. Lori quickly replied, "No, I'm his only daughter and the only nurse in the family." But the attending nurse insisted she definitely had a meeting with a woman who was definitely his other daughter. She wouldn't have let her in if she wasn't, because only family was allowed to visit at that time. Mm. Now, my Aunt Lori is flabbergasted, filled with befuddlement, at a loss for words. How could this be? Was someone acting as an imposter to infiltrate her father's medical records? So she decided to ask her mom some questions, and boy, did she get some answers. You guessed it. My grandfather had an affair with a younger woman about 30 years prior and had a child with her. Her name was Susie, and she was also a nurse. It turns out he was very involved in Susie's life, dancing with her at her wedding, sending her Christmas gifts every year. She lived in the same town, but he sent her to private school and paid for her children's education, too. She was only a few years younger than my dad, who was the youngest.
Oh, my God.
My dad and his siblings had no idea. Susie's mother was a member of the church they frequented. And this is where the plot thickens. My grandfather ended up making a miraculous semi-full recovery after his stroke and lived for 8 more years.
Oh, my God. Awkward.
Right? This left him to face each one of his 4 children, who now knew the fact that they have another sister. It turns out there were no business trips that he went on when they were young. There was no barbershop quartet competitions he was going out of town for.
That's all he could think of?
Literally, wow. It's like this email, that line solidified this email for me, where I was like, oh shit, that's genius. Yes. They were all very surprised, but still accepted him as their father and carried on. My dad got to meet his long lost little sister, and I gained a whole lot of respect for my grandmother for all the shit she's put up with.
Yeah.
So that is my story. Hope you enjoyed. AC.
Oh, that's a juicy one. I wonder if Susie knew about them, or if she knew she was the secret family.
I actually knew a person who was in this position. It's a stand-up comedian who talks about it in her act. So, but I won't say her name, but her and her mom, it was like they would just watch the dad with the, you know, public family.
Yeah.
Because they also lived in the same town.
Oh my God.
I mean, yeah, I guess it just depends on the man, if he's going to keep it secret from everybody or what.
Barbershop quartet. Fucker.
He's like, my wild eye. And it's like, you're not even that good at it.
How come we can't come to any of the competitions, Grandpa?
We want to wear straw hats and support you. Georgia, I just need to ask you kind of a general question. Who among us hasn't stumbled across a 5-ingredient dinner recipe or like a power washing tutorial online and thought, I want to try that?
I know I have, but usually I just bookmark and keep scrolling. It's hard to tell what content online is legit, Karen.
Well, Georgia, fortunately, Masterclass knows a pro from a foe. They only work with experts so you can learn with confidence.
With 200 classes taught by the world's best instructors on topics like cooking, photography, writing, and more, Masterclass has something for everyone.
Once you sign up for their annual membership, you'll have unlimited access to their full catalog for just $10 a month.
Get to know yourself better with RuPaul's Self-Expression and Authenticity class, or learn about problem solving from the science guy himself, Bill Nye.
Masterclass was designed to enhance your life no matter how busy you are. Their sessions are made up of 10 to 15 minute video lessons that can be taken in any order so you can learn at your own pace.
I love it. When you sign into Masterclass, it's like the whole world opens up and you can be in there for hours just learning stuff. I learned about dog training. You can do an improv lessons with Amy Poehler.
Oh, there's the great relationship expert Esther Perel. You can get in there and learn how to build deeper connections with her.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/MFM.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/MFM.
Masterclass.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time. And we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager. And companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information. So you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Well, I have another grandpa one. It's called Hot Dog Grandpa Story. It's a little different. It says, hello, all. Copy and paste whatever funny salutations the person before me said.
No.
It's been a while since we've had a hot dog story right on the minisodes, and so I figured I'd send mine in.
Yay. Amen. Wait, before we get into the hot dog story, did Aaron show you the hot dog art?
No. What hot dog art?
Somebody submitted an idea for a hot dog t-shirt. And it is, we're going to have hot dog merch pretty soon.
Okay. Oh yeah. My God. She hasn't shown me yet. Okay, so my grandfather was quite an eccentric man, but we loved him for all his quirks. One of these was that he was constantly eating. Whenever he and my grandma came to town, my mom would have to hide all of the Cheez-Its, goldfish, and other cracker-like things because he would eat them all and we would be left with zero snacks for my brother and I.
Mm-hmm.
Often he would just put whatever snack he was eating in the pocket of his jacket or pants, who needs a bowl, and eat handfuls of them, spewing crumbs as he did. Let's just say the dogs were a big fan when Grandpa T came to visit. On one of these instances, we caught him eating cold, raw hot dogs from his pocket.
Oh.
They probably had gathered lint and crumbs from his other snacks, but who cares? He died a few years ago after a decade-long fight with cancer, and this is one of the many stories about him that my family fondly retells over the dinner table. Stay sexy and don't forget to eat hot dogs out of your pocket. Michaela.
I mean, as a person who loves eating constantly, I support Michaela's grandfather in life and in death, because that's kind of how it is sometimes.
Yeah.
Also, have you ever had like a handful of goldfish? You need like 14 more handfuls of goldfish after you eat one.
It's hard not to keep going.
They're real tangy.
I'm just picturing overalls with that big front pocket with just like cold hot dogs sticking out of it. And I kind of love it.
Cold hot dogs and goldfish, just like anywhere you turn. What a joy. Okay, here's the last one for me. This is pretty legendary. Hello, Georgia and Karen. When I was in high school, I concocted what I thought was the biggest and best lie that not only impressed my friends, but also gets brought up to this day in family conversations. Mm. The lie, instead of going home after school, and so I could stay out later on the weekends, I decided to tell my mom that I had joined my high school girls softball team. Taking advantage of my only child status, I kept it rolling to see how far it could go. After months of me arriving home every weeknight around 9 p.m.,
whoa,
my mom was surprisingly satisfied with the answers I gave to her questions. Mom, where's your equipment? Me, I just leave it in the locker room. Mom, how come you never bring your uniform home? Me, they wash them at school. Mom, how come you never have any games? Me, they're all away games right now. Mom, what's your coach's name? Me. We just call her Coach. One day, Mom was in the school office dropping off some paperwork, and guess who walks in? The girls' softball coach. My mom casually asked the coach about my progress with the team, to which the coach replied, I'm sorry, ma'am, but I have no idea who your daughter is. The jig was up. To this day, my mom thinks it's funny that I got caught, but everyone in the family thinks it's funny that my mom was fooled for 3 months.
Yeah.
Guess that's why I was grounded from April through August of 1995. SSDGM and stay out of the attendance office, Mom. Jenny.
Man, I don't think that would work on me. I feel like there's certain people who just suspect everything and know kids are constantly lying, but I feel like the oldest child is the one who's going to get away with it, if anyone.
I was going to say, because Jenny said they were an only child. Because I was going to say, that's a classic youngest child.
That's true.
By that point where your parents are like, I don't care. Is this the thing your sister did 2 years ago? Fine.
Good ones, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for writing in. If you want one more hometown from each of us, they're in the fan cult. And there's like years of them to listen
to. Yeah. Years of dedicated and yet restricted content.
That's right.
Get in there.
Secrets? Fucking go to myfavoritemurder.com and join the fan cult if you want.
And also, if you want, stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Goodbye.
Elvis, do you want a cookie?
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Our senior producer is Alejandra Keck.
Our editor is Aristotle Acevedo.
This episode was mixed by Liana Squalacci.
Email your hometowns to myfavoritemurder@gmail.com.
And follow the show on Instagram and Facebook at myfavoritemurder and on Twitter at myfavemurder.
Goodbye.